gonna rock, I'm gonna roll, I'm gonna party tonight, like to save my soul. Gonna move, got to groove, gonna shake this joint like you don't know. Gonna make this night go by, drinking wine.
Without further ado, I'll let Jerome take over. He's going to describe the importance of barrels in the making of Pinot Noir, and the samples we have will be part of that discussion, and I think it should be very interesting. Jerome?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just want to give you a brief description of my background before starting on the presentation itself. I know that we have about 30, 35 minutes, and that will include the questions, so if you would refrain from asking questions until the end of the presentation, I would appreciate. Briefly about me, I grew up not very far from Burgundy. You know, I spent about 20 years in a city about an hour and a half southwest of Beaune, and basically where the trees grow, where, you know, the Allier, the Troncet forests are located. And I came in this country about 12 years ago. Initially to work as a general manager for a new cupage that was starting their American oak production. That was Redwood Cupage in Santa Rosa. And that's why I discovered the barrel business and the wine industry. At the time, it was 94. The industry was maturing, but not quite what it is now. So I had the pleasure of seeing that industry really booming, and the wines, particularly Pinot Noir, really improving tremendously in the process. And worked for a couple of years for that cupage, and started to notice that a lot of the small wineries weren't really served too well by larger cupages. And I thought, you know, there's a vacuum there that I might be able to fill, and that's why I started Artisan Barrels, with the intent to serve on the one-to-one basis the needs of winemakers starting small, with maybe 10, 20 barrels of this cellar, and wanted to receive advice from Cooper as far as the barrel program was concerned. There's a lot more to barrel making and barrel selection than one may think. And that's why, you know, I wanted really to assist them in that decision process. So that includes usually tasting the barrels from different forests, from different toasting level, once or twice a year with winemakers, and making sure that the wood solution that we're bringing is the right solution for a certain vineyard, for a certain type of wine, or a certain style the winemaker wants to achieve. So today I'm not going to talk too much about the manufacturing of the barrel, the barrel making side of the business, but mostly about the selection of forest, toasting levels, and seasoning that the winemaker has when he decides to purchase barrels. And I will also, in the second part of that presentation, talk about the importance, the growing importance of using larger vessels to ferment and mature wines. Sort of a new trend that I've seen over the last 5 years is winemakers, as well as consumers, getting away from the higher oaked wines, but trying to recognize the oak and the structural impact it has on the wine, but without the higher phenolic compounds you find usually in a small barrel. So more and more wineries have been maturing their wines, and that includes Pinot Noir, into puncheons, into demi-mûri, or even round or oval casks, giving a total different flavor profile than a regular small barrel vessel. So there's basically three main characteristics when a winemaker needs to make a decision, a purchasing decision to buy a barrel. One of the first one has to do with the seasoning of the wood. The seasoning of the wood is basically the amount of time the staves are air dried in the cooper's yard. And the average for that particular seasoning has been between 18 and 24 months. We've seen in the last 5 or 10 years that more and more winemakers wanted to obtain wood that was seasoned 36 months. What that extra year does to the particular estate is that it really, you get another winter, another alternance of sun, rain. That process occurs naturally in Burgundy because there's enough moisture there. We have a lot of fog in the winter time. And in Bordeaux, which is a little drier, the Bordeaux keepers usually don't hesitate to sprinkle the wood very extensively from 4 to 8 weeks once they receive the green staves from the forest. So in Burgundy, the keepers usually rely on the natural weather, the natural environment to season their stave. And we've seen, again, the three-year air-dried barrels favored versus the two-year, mostly because it doesn't impact the wine with as many excessive tannins as the two-year. There's a trade-off in choosing 3 years versus the two-year is that you're getting less sweetness and less roundness and less lactose as well in the three-year versus the two-year. So for wines that are aged 18 to 24 months or maybe 16 to 24 months, the winemaker choosing that particular wood can really take full advantage of the three-year because they know that they can keep the wine for that amount of time in the barrels without being too concerned about the phenolics in the wine. For wineries wanting to release their wines earlier and aging their wine maybe 8 to 12 months, I think the two-year is more appropriate because we're going to obtain a faster integration, a little bit more sweetness, a little more roundness. And so that's, again, those are two options. The second aspect of barrel making, which is very important as well, is the forest selection. Forest selection starts in the forest. It's like, you know, the wine starts in the vineyard. There are several appellations of forest appellation in France, and basically two approaches to forest selection. The first one is basically of getting a single forest barrel, so focusing on the forest itself, the appellation, just like you'll have a single vineyard Pinot Noir rather than a blend, and that's the first choice. Some forests like Troncet or Bertrange are very famous in France. They're very small forests. We have very limited access to those particular staves. They're usually a bit more expensive than the Allier of Vosges forest. But for Pinot Noir especially, those two forests have been instrumental in consistency and in having a mix of elegance and power. The second choice for the winemaker is focusing on the grain tightness. And that has been particularly true for winemakers wishing to age their wine a little longer than most people, to have a more traditional Burgundy aging process, which is usually between 16 and 18 months. The traditional aging regimen here in the States for Pinot Noir is probably between 12 and 14 months, maybe 10 and 14 months. So the grain tightness does two things. One of the things it does is that it's because of the cell structure, the very tight cell structure of the wood. When I say tight grain, it's basically measuring the growth rings in the particular staves, usually below 1.5 millimeters. And so the first thing it does, it really extracts a lot of the tannins early on because the since you have tighter grain, you also have more phenolic compounds in the wood. And so they're going to extract faster. But those particular tannins are not going to be as aggressive, as rustic, if you will, as a looser grain barrel that will extract maybe less phenolic compounds, but they will be harsher and more astringent. In the old days, you know, in the 80s or 70s, a lot of the winemakers were using Limousin oak. This was just the wood of reference for aging their wines. and this was a little bit more rustic, looser grain. You were usually more used in cognac or armagnac for aging brandy and aging liquors, so you had a little bit more time on your side to integrate those tannins over time. Over the last 10 years, we've seen winemakers really preferring the Saint of France, the Troncée, the Bertrange, the Bauge for us to extract less astringent tannins and to focus on the grain tightness. So these are basically the two choices in terms of forest selection, single forest, and the grain tightness. And we've seen those two approaches basically combine over the last 10 years, winemakers being very particular about the forest they're getting. You know, they year after year wanting to get the Troncée, the Bertrange, and other winemakers saying, you know, that I'm not really sure when I'm getting my wood anyway, so I'm going to focus on the grain tightness. The third item in terms of barrel selection is the is basically the toasting. And every toasting regimen is different from cooper to cooper. That's really what differentiates, you know, one cooper to the other. Most of the coopers, either from Burgundy or Bordeaux, source their wood from the same places, from the same forest. Even though the Bordeaux coopers will probably focus a little bit more on the grain tightness than the Burgundy cooper that focus on the single forest, even though now the line is more blurry, because you have Bordeaux coopers with operations in Burgundy and vice versa. So, but traditionally the Bordeaux people dealing with longer age wines, more tannic wines, such as Cabernet or Merlot, will like to use tighter grain forest and blended, you know, forest, focusing instead on the grain. Bordeaux, and they're dealing with, you know, those varietals that are more tannic that don't necessarily need a lot of extraction. And on the other hand, the Burgundy cooper, dealing with shorter age wines, 12 to 18 months, will tend to use the single forest they've been using traditionally in Burgundy. So that the toasting, going back to the toasting, one of the main, and maybe you can, so these are the forests in France that I talked about. Different regime, different forests, you know, from Slovakia, from Troncée, Vosges, Allier, 36 months versus Bertrange, Troncée, Saint of France. The seasoning I talked about also earlier. Seasoning is very important. We're going to skip the manufacturing part, so let's focus on the toasting now. Toasting from cooper to cooper varies from 45 minutes to over 60 minutes. The idea of toasting the barrels is that the wood, oak, why did we choose oak at the first place as a vessel? We chose oak because this is one of the most neutral material. And yet, being neutral, it still releases a lot of flavors. That's why we really need to basically toast the raw material of oak to make it, to tone it down a little bit. If the barrel wasn't toasted, the level of extraction will be too high. You will have just green and astringent tannin, even though it's been seasoned 3 years, but you'll have a lot of phenolics, and that are not necessarily desirable in the wine. So what the toasting does is not only does it tone down those phenolic compounds, but it also add flavors that weren't in the oak before, and it turned certain of those compounds into caramel, toasted bread, vanillin, caramel, some of flavors that sort of round up the flavor profile of your wine. And so beyond the concentration function of the vessel itself and the macro oxygenation function of the vessel, the toasting will add texture to your wine, weight to the wine, and also a wider aromatic spectrum. In some cases, for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay especially, the particular toasting will lift up the wine and we'll sort of highlight on the Chardonnay, for instance, the tropical, the coconut flavor of the wine. Some is good for certain winemakers, some is not necessarily what they're looking for. So the balance for the cooper is to find a toasting level that is not too obtrusive, not too dominating of the wine, not too overpowering the wine, and yet toast enough that you are toning down some of the raw wood character associated often with plantiness, with a certain green herbaceous character. So we've seen a trend over the last 10 years in that toasting process. I remember tasting Pinot Noir in the late 80s up until the 90s that were hyper extracted, and the barrels I was selling then were very different from the barrels I'm selling now. I mean, the Cidery, the Dumol, all those people were using fairly heavily handed barrels. When I say heavily handed, I mean, heavy toast and toasted heads, and barrels are being almost charred. Nowadays, and I've seen that over the last 5 to 8 years, the winemakers choose toasting that are more gentle, longer time on the fire, lower flame, and just a more gentle toast extraction. And that's very important because that complements their wines much better. And you can actually show more of the vineyard, more of the site, and also, show more of the differences between vintages. And so that particular medium-long toast is much more, I think about 5 or 7 years ago, two-thirds of my clients for Pinot Noir were choosing medium plus. Now, two-thirds choose medium long. And 10 years ago when I started that business, 20 to 30% of my customers had their head toasted. Now it's only 10%. So that's a significant trend. So the toasting process, as I said, lasts from 45 to 65 minutes. This particular slide shows the probably heavier duty toasting process, so high flame. Different coopers use different devices to toast their barrels. But one of the main common devices usually to have a brasero with some oak scraps to toast the barrels. From cooper to cooper, that particular brasero is designed differently. Some are actually raised above the ground. Some have different sizes holes. Some, are actually buried into the ground, and they're basically underground. But most of the coopers use fire toasting process to toast their barrels. There's maybe a handful of French oak coopers that use water bend barrels. So during the bending process of the barrel, they are going to use steam and water to basically bend that barrel without cracking. So they're going to use water and steam in about 50% to 60% of their process, rather than just fire. The cooper I represent only use fire, and that's about 80 to 90% of the coopers in France. But the water bending and the water immersion will enable, getting rid at a faster pace of getting rid of the excessive green tannins. So that will be one of the function of the water bending. The problem with that toasting is that you're getting rid of so much sometimes that you have a barrel, at the end, especially the second year, that doesn't really, is almost neutral. You don't have the same, you don't get the same bang for your buck, if you prefer. But for whites, for certain whites, I think it's very appropriate, where you want a very subtle impact the first year. And people using a lot of new oak percentage, in their assortment, I think that's a proper method of. These are the three main characteristics and three main options the winemakers needs to discuss with the cooper before he purchases the barrels. First of all, the seasoning, the forest selection, the grain tightness. Grain tightness and forest selections are together, and the third one is the toasting. We've seen over the last 5 to 7 years a growing trend of using also oak from Eastern Europe, which is, I don't know, some of you I know here in the audience have experimented with for about that amount of time. And I've seen a lot of success using those particular wood source from Eastern Europe. Same botanical species, basically. You know, we're still using Quercus robur and then the French oak. The forests are not necessarily as well managed as the French forest. They're not as carefully managed. We have a government agency in France called OMF that has been managing those forests, you know, after the World War II. So it's been almost 50 years of managing those forests and managing them and harvesting them really like crops, you know. So no clear cutting, but really replenishing the forest, you know, for the future generations. And you know, in France, 60% of those forests are state owned and 40% privately owned. And we have one of the largest oak forests in Europe. So we're. But I've seen those East and Central European countries starting to build barrels that are really up to the French oak standards, and actually decided myself to import last year an Hungarian oak cooperage, because I really believe that as the euro appreciates, that the French oak is getting more expensive, as it is important for American winemakers to compete with, you know, on the global stage more and more. You know, these particular barrels will have a greater role to play in the future. And we're getting usually a little bit more intensity, a little bit more fleshiness, a bit more a little bit more lactones. Not as much tannin as French oak, but I think it's a very interesting flavoring tool for the winemaker to use. Another tool for the winemakers, and I alluded to it earlier in my talk, is the larger vessel. So I think this is one of the trend that I've seen over a more recent trend. I think it's sort of a back to the future trend. It's been going on and for many years in France, and that's a trend that basically consists in fermenting in wooden fermenters. The idea in fermenting in small fermenters, wooden fermenters, is that you get a more gentle fermentation curve during your primary fermentation, which is critical for good quality Pinot Noir making. More inertia, more thermal inertia from the wood itself compared to plastic and stainless steel. So you get... You can extend the fermentation by 3 or 4 more days because the wood vessel will keep the heat longer than the plastic. It won't need to be as regulated as you will on a jacketed stainless steel. So you'll have less intervention there. You will work more with your cellar environment. And so I think it's a great tool with as fermentation. I have seen, you know, elite boutique wineries such as Costa Brown, Bergstrom, Windy Oaks, and using those fermentation wooden fermenters, open top fermenters, and I think I'll see more and more of those fermenters in the future. Another aspect of those larger vessels is the cask, the demi-mui aging, and I've seen also more and more winemakers playing with those larger vessels. Not all wines are really meant to be aged in the smaller barrels, the 60-gallon vessels. There are some wines, maybe not the Grand Cru or Premier Cru of California, but lesser wines that will just be doing as well in a larger cask. Because I think you want to preserve the fruit freshness, intensity. You want to keep that terroir character in the as much as you can. And sometimes a small barrel ratio of oak surface wine is just too high, and will tire the wine, will dry out the fruit, and you're not getting the full potential of your wine, thinking that as a general rule, you need to age in a small barrel. There's actually a good article I distributed today from J.C. Robinson about that particular aspect that I'm talking about. So I think that's interesting to see, and I think consumers and winemakers are together on this trend, is that they recognize that oak is important, but they want more and more the fruit to be expressed. They want more and more the vineyard and the site specification of that particular wine to be expressed in the bottle. And you achieve that in using, I think, a more gentle toasting character, but also a larger vessel, and using wood that is not as obtrusive. So there are different techniques and methods I described earlier to tone down the impact of the wood. We talked about the 3-year seasoning versus 24 months. We talked about the toasting, the medium-long toast, or the slow toast or light toast versus the heavy toast, the non-toasted heads versus the toasted heads. And I think that the size of the vessel will be another important trend and another tool for the winemaker to basically tier their different wines, not necessarily according to the cooper, but according to the size of the vessel. And I've seen larger wineries such as Gergish Hills and Sonoma Couture switching part of their Chardonnay traditionally aged small barrel program from small barrels to larger ovals or casks, because they recognize that this is really an important they're really on a mission to let those vineyards talk and speak in the bottle of wine. And that goes along with organic farming, biodynamic farming, and I think again trying to express a little bit more that terroir. And I think as the industry here matures, you'll see more and more of that. So I think I covered all the points. The wines you have in front of you is actually, it's not for the faint of heart, it's a 2000 Archery Summit. And it's a fairly tannic, fairly extracted wines. And we did an experiment with Archery Summit in 2000, basically the same wine aged in different barrels. One of those barrel you have in front of you was a Troncé 12 months air dry, so just 1 year. And the other sample is a 3-year air dry. So we wanted to make the contrast as interesting as possible. So let me know that what you prefer. The first sample is the number 2, and the second sample is number 4. I'd just like to take a vote before I tell you which one you like, but and which one is the number 2 and number 4. But let's start tasting. So it's a pretty structured wine. This one is probably one of the last few Archery Summit made that was very highly extracted wine I was talking to you about before. And again, remember, this is a 100% oak sample, so it's not really a reflection of what the blend will later be. In the meantime, if anyone of you has any questions on that introduction.
Jerome, the French wine, Bordeaux in particular,
right.
I can't find any fruit flavoring in at all. It's because of the
I'm not as familiar with Bordeaux wines as I am with Burgundy wines, but I'm sure there's some pretty good fruit in some Bordeaux wines. I mean, they're you don't find the
fine at all.
Yeah, it's a different profile, a different spectrum than not only Burgundy but also than the New World. So I think you get more earth and more forest floor character, more truffles, more earthiness, as you do find those fruit bomb wines, because the weather is not there. But you're getting a different level of complexity. And I think the oak treatment is, it's pretty, especially for Premier Cru, in Bordeaux, they use close to 100% oak. So they're using a fair amount of new oak, but again, it's not, your most assertive new oak. And it depends from winery to winery.
I noticed you talked about the Eastern European oaks, but mm-hmm. you didn't talk about the American oaks very much.
Well, because, you know, this is a Pinot Noir symposium, right? So, I mean, American oak and Pinot Noir, I don't know if anyone has experience here with American oak and Pinot Noir, but it's really not, on my own wine, I wouldn't put, you know, American oak in that. And even wineries like David Bruce winery, we used to use a lot of American oak in their wines, are shied away from it, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago already. And they were probably one of the last ones to use American oak in. But there's some exception, you know. I mean, like their, you know, Cabernet producers, Zinfandel producers, you know, the Ridge is using a lot of American oak and doing very well. I think Zinfandel is a good application. But Pinot Noir is just too ephemeral, too fragment. And I think American oak, you're getting a lot of lactose, a lot of coconut, a lot of flavors that don't belong to the wine originally. And so I think it's fine for wines that you need to round up, you need actually to add, you know, to reduce the amount of tannins, you know, and round up the textural quality of the wine. But for Pinot Noir, I think you want to highlight the freshness of the fruit. And I think that the American oak, yeah, I don't know if anyone else has comments about that, but I don't believe that's, you know, that's why you mentioned it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know of one winery that's used American oak relatively locally, and mm-hmm. they used it because that's what was available at mm-hmm. the time for them. It was terrible. Pinot Noir
just doesn't do well with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Concerning the similarity that's been in Pinot Noir, what is the big differences or similitude you have seen between California wine and Burgundy wine?
I think there are more and more similarities because I think more and more Burgundy winemakers are traveling and make wine overseas, and they I think you have sort of a globalization of Pinot Noir making. But I think that the main difference I think between Burgundy and Bordeaux and California. Or Burgundy and Oregon, which is another level of difference, is the consistency. I think we're able here in California and to some extent in Oregon to make very consistent Pinot Noir year after year. And I think the differences of vintages in France could be really striking. You know, from 2005, which is supposed to be an exceptional year in Burgundy, and the 2000 and for instance 2001, you know, so there could be really striking differences. And of course, there are different wines. We don't necessarily need to compare them.
I was speaking about barrel management.
Oh, barrel management. Sorry. Barrel management. Yeah, less barrel usually aging in France, about 25%. But again, different fruit also. Not the same level of ripeness. The higher percentage of New York wouldn't be appropriate in France because our wines are more delicate, more fragile, beginning in the vineyard. And here, they are more fleshy, they are more opulent, they are more voluptuous, and they can take a little bit of extra oak. So 25% in France, about average of 40% here in the States. And the aging also is different. You know, here in the States, from 10 to 12 months, in Burgundy, from 14 to 18.
Jerome, thank you very much. That was very informative, and I think, hopefully, if you continue to like it.